Today, it is my pleasure to now introduce to you Reverend Nathan Day Wilson. Reverend Wilson is an ordained minister in the Christian Church Disciples of Christ. He currently serves as the Director of Communications at Christian Theological Seminary. He is coordinator of the Faith and Values section of the Indianapolis Star. He's assistant coach at Triton Central, the number one ranked girls high school basketball team. And he's a personal trainer for body and brain fitness. Now, if I could just accomplish a couple of those things, I would be good. Anyway, we'd like to welcome Reverend Wilson to Hazelwood.
Appreciate very much this invitation. Jason emailed me a few weeks ago and asked if I would be able to fill in today, and also appreciate the help that Mariana gave in the time since then to make sure I understood how worship would work and so on. I think I've got the hang of it after these years, but you never know. For instance, she asked if I wanted to help serve at the table. And even though we disciples celebrate communion every week, no two disciple churches do it the same way, I'm convinced. And so I was glad that others were able to work that out. This is a beautiful space, a beautiful building. I've been at Hazelwood a couple times before. I spoke at the Muncie Interfaith Gathering over in Cartwright Hall. Maybe 5-6 years ago, something like that. But it's my first time to be here in the sanctuary, and it's beautiful. The building is beautiful, and I love the campus itself. So I'm going to read a passage of Scripture now, and perhaps for you, this is your very first time to ever be in church. If so, terrific. I'm glad you're here. Perhaps, on the other hand, that you have been worshiping for a long time, you know, since slightly before Adam and Eve or something like that. And so you're quite familiar with the routine as well. In either case, whether this is your very first time or you're a regular, either case, I'll bet you are familiar with this passage of Scripture because it contains one of the most famous questions in all the Bible. Now, I say that for two reasons. Number one, to perk your ears to listen for what that famous question is. And number two, to encourage you as I start into the story and your brain says, oh, I know how this one goes, I encourage you nonetheless to listen closely because sometimes it's in that which is very familiar to us that God has a new word to speak to us. Make sense? So don't rush to the end of the story. Listen as it unfolds. A reading from Genesis chapter 4. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the field. And Abel, for his part, brought of the firstlings of his flock, their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering. But for Cain and his offering, God had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. The Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, you will be accepted. And if you do not do well, sin is lurking at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must master it. Cain said to his brother Abel, let us go out into the field. And when they did, Cain turned toward his brother, rose up against him, and killed him. And the Lord said to Cain, where is your brother Abel? And Cain replied, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So let's just make sure we're on the same page, okay? We've got two brothers. You have Cain, and Cain's a farmer. And you have Abel, and Abel is a shepherd. With me so far? So Cain tends to the crops of the field, and Abel to the sheep and other livestock. Both men, as far as we know, are faithful. Both men, as far as we know, are hardworking. Both men, when the time comes in their faith to bring a sacrifice to God, do exactly what their faith tells them to do. They bring the very best they have to offer. Abel, a sheep, Cain from the field. God receives the gift from Abel, but not the gift from Cain. So my question to you to start us off this morning is why? Why does God receive Abel's gift but not Cain's gift? Both men, as far as we know, are hardworking. Both men are faithful. Both men have done exactly what their faith asked them to do. Yet God favored Abel's gift and not Cain's gift. Why? We don't know. Cain doesn't know. The Bible doesn't say so. We don't know. Now, I'll bet you know what it's like, though, to be Cain, don't you? Do you know what it's like to do what you're supposed to do, what your faith has asked you to do, to work hard, to play by the rules, to do everything the way you're supposed to do, and somehow, for some reason, things just don't work out the way they should? Have you ever, for instance, prayed for something, not something selfish, but something altruistic, something for others, something God would want, after all? You've earnestly, honestly, authentically prayed for that to happen, and it did not. Have you ever prayed for someone to live, and yet they died? Why? It occurs to me that a lot of life is about making deals. Have you noticed that? If you do this, I'll do that. If you love me, I'll love you. If you sell it to me, I'll pay you for it. If you hire me, I'll work hard for you. It's about making deals. And so it makes sense. You know, I thought of one the other day. God, if you get rid of my daughter's boyfriend, I'll become a missionary. You know, deal making, things like that. Oh, that's right. This is being recorded, isn't it? I should have thought of that. So it makes sense that in our relationship with God, we, deal makers that we are, would want to make a deal. We pray for better jobs. We pray for better health, for better relationships, for better communities. Not anything wrong with any of those prayers. And we hope, we expect that God is on the other side of the table, the deal-making table, ready to strike a deal. If we hold up our part, God, we pray, we're honest, we're authentic, we're genuine. You hold up your side. So the question is, what happens when you find out God's not in the deal-making business? In other words, how do you respond to a God that you cannot control? Well, we know how Cain responded. The story tells us Cain responded with anger. After all, thought Cain, I did what I was supposed to do. I held up my end of the deal. I worked hard in the field. I brought my best product to God. And yet, for reasons I don't know, it was rejected. And so Cain responded with anger. He rose up, went to his brother. When God asked that question of Cain, so why are you angry? Why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, you will be accepted. Well, it's pretty obvious, isn't it, that God and Cain are on different pages when it comes to what it means to do well. It's pretty obvious that they're not exactly singing from the same hymn, so to say. I think Cain would have liked my third grade teacher, Mrs. Ware. Now, I doubt you went to the same elementary school that I did since I grew up in Kentucky, but I'll bet you know Mrs. Ware. When I was in the third grade, okay, third grader's viewpoint, Mrs. Ware was approximately, give or take a little, 117 years old. You know that, right? She was on a good day 4 feet tall, and Mrs. Ware's hair, say that 10 times real fast, Mrs. Ware's hair was what color? Oh, no. It left white a long time ago. Good guess, though. Mrs. Ware's hair was blue. Right? It's beyond white. I mean, gray, that was... I loved and still love Mrs. Ware, and I owe her a lot, because it was for Mrs. Ware that I wrote my first essay. And since I now write twice a month for the Star, I'm indebted to Mrs. Ware. Now, this essay was it's a really cute essay. Just ask my mom, she'll tell you. And it was a nice little essay about beagles. You know, beagle dogs? We had a bunch of them growing up. At one time, we had 12 little beagle pups. And it was always my job, among the brothers, it was my job to take care of our beagles. Rain or shine, cold or hot, doesn't matter. They have to be fed, of course, twice a day. The pens have to be cleaned out, have to take care of them. So I wrote this essay about the beagle dogs, and about how they were so much fun, and they would yip and yap and get all tangled up around my feet and sometimes trip me as I was trying to leave. And again, it was a cute essay. It was well done. I even drew, and I know you're going to be impressed by this, I even drew a picture of a little dog down at the bottom of my essay. That's when you say, aw, thank you. Yeah? It was a good essay. I turned it in. I was proud. I had already received acclamation from my mom and dad. My mom was an English teacher, so, you know, that really counted. Dad less so, but mom especially. There's one problem with the essay. The assignment was to write an essay about eagles, not beagles. Shucks. But Mrs. Ware loved my hard work. I think it was the picture of the dog. She loved the essay. And so she gave me an A on the essay, even though I didn't get the assignment just exactly right. Isn't that nice? And isn't that the kind of God we want? I mean, come on, God. We work hard. We try. Maybe we get the assignment a little bit incorrect, but surely we're going to get graded on the curve, right? Surely we're going to get an A anyhow. Well, at least according to this passage, that's not how God operates. For God, it's important that we get the assignment correct, especially in this passage, especially when we are disappointed with life, especially when we are to avoid the sin that lurks at the door. What's the point, you say? I met my commitments. I played by the rules. I was faithful. But God just clearly likes Abel more than God likes me. Now, just like you know what it's like to be Cain, you also know Abel, don't you? Abel is the one for whom everything is perfect. Abel has the perfect marriage. Abel has the perfect, well-behaved children. Abel goes on the best vacations. Abel lives in the nicest house. Abel has all the toys that you wish you had. That's Abel. Abel has the life that not only you wish you had, but the life that you've worked for, the life that, no argument, you deserve. That's Abel. And you tell yourself, God just likes Abel more than me, and so it's time to take things into my own hands. It's time to be my own God. And we all know, because history is full of examples, of times when people tried to be God, it did not work out very well. I did what God wanted. It hasn't worked out the way I wanted, so now maybe I should be God. And like Cain, other times people have risen up against brothers, against sisters, against neighbors, against people they don't even know, and killed them. Now, I want you to notice one thing here. It's kind of like in a parenthesis. Cain never once, is there any indication that Cain had a problem with Abel. Never once is there any indication that Cain and Abel did not get along with each other. Notice Cain's disappointment from the start of the story to the end is with God, not with his brother. So God went to Cain and said and asked this question, "Where is your brother?" And Cain responds, "How should I know?" And then he asks one of the most famous questions in all of the Bible. You want to say it with me? Am I my brother's keeper? Now wake up your neighbor for this part. It's important. If there is an assignment from God, if there is an answer to the question, what does it mean to do well, it may have very little to do with your hard work, with your accomplishments, with your accolades. And it may have everything in the world to do with how you treat your brother, your sister, your parent, your child, your neighbor, the person you do not know. Especially when you are disappointed with life. Loved ones die, and sometimes they die way too soon. Most of us have experienced that. Jobs end, and sometimes they end poorly. Health declines, dreams disappear, relationships go bad. These are disappointments, and they are real, and they should not be overlooked. They are heartbreaking. Sooner or later, all of us face some type of disappointment like this. And the question when we face them is, how will you respond? You can respond with anger and cynicism the way Cain did. You can rise up against brother or sister or parent or child or neighbor or partner without even knowing why you're doing so. You can lose your earlier compassion that you had for people and think instead of what others need, only of what you need. You can wear that badge around. You've seen it. That badge around that says, I'm a victim, I'm a victim, I'm a victim, and you may be. But that doesn't have to be what defines you. That's what some do. And others, when they're faced with disappointments, they respond more like a woman in a disciples' church not too far from here. We'll call her Brenda, since that's her name. And Brenda has had a tough life. Health issues, a husband who, in my informed opinion, was absolutely no good, mistreated her from the beginning. Two children who have taken advantage of Brenda at every turn possible, long past the age when they should have known better, should have matured past that. But Brenda is to a fault a kind and thoughtful person. When you're talking to Brenda, you know how this works. When you're talking to Brenda, there can be a room full of 35, 50 other people. And it's like you're in a movie set where they zoom in on just the two of you because Brenda is so present. She so much cares about you. She may have just been in difficult doctor's appointments that week and had other hardships that week, but she cares about you, and she looks into not just your eyes, but into your soul, because that's the level of compassion and the level of love that she has. So there you go. You can respond like Cain, rise up, cynical, hateful, in anger. Or when bad things happen, when you're disappointed with life, you can respond more like Brenda. You can reach to become even more compassionate than you were before. Reach to become even more aware of the needs and the pains and the hurts of others than you were before. You can respond in this way, but either way, Whether you choose to respond like Cain or choose to respond like Brenda, either way, it's your choice. But either way, God's question is the same. What have you done? Not what have you done with your accomplishments or your accolades, your achievements, but what have you done with your brother? And by the way, God will not be impressed if your reply is, you're not your brother's keeper. Because in fact, you are.